So we're all the way at the end of the parasha, Parashas Ki Savoy. In fact, we're going to start from the beginning of the first, the beginning of the last perek, the last chapter, Perek Choftes, chapter 29. And what we're going to be looking at is a whole lot of pasukim. So we're going to start with Pasuk Aleph. We're going to focus mainly on Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Vav. So we're going to start at Pasuk Aleph just to give it context. But the main focus is the third and the sixth Pasuk. Vayikra Moshe el kol Yisrael vayomer alehem. So Moshe calls all the Jewish people and he says to them, Atem ri yisem, you have seen. Eis kol asher asa Hashem le'nichem beretz Mitzrayim le'faro le'kol avodovo le'kol haretzoi. You have seen with your own eyes what Hashem did to Pharaoh and to his people and to his land. Basically, you've seen all the great miracles that Hashem has done for you. That's the introduction to what we'll focus on. We're going to focus on this pasuk. Hashem has not given you a heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear until today. Then he continues. I, Hashem, I have led you for 40 years in the desert. Your clothes did not wear out and your shoes did not wear out. You didn't eat ordinary bread and drink ordinary wine or beer. In order that you should know that I am Hashem your God. And now you have come to this place. It doesn't tell us what this place is. It says, now you have come to this place. And Sichon and Og, the two powerful kings, came with their nations to attack you, and we smote them. And we took their land. Their land was given to the 2.5 tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe. And then he concludes, you should observe, you should uphold all the words of this covenant and you should do them. In order that you should understand everything that you should do. So as I say, we are going to focus on Pasuk Gimel and on Pasuk Vav. Let's start with Pasuk Gimel. Hashem has not yet given you a heart to know. Let's see what Rashi has to say about that. Says Rashi, what does it mean that Hashem has not given you a heart to know? It means lahakir es chastei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ulehidavek boy. It means that He has not given you the opportunity to recognize His kindness and to cleave to Him. Okay, you're going to really have to keep a lot of questions in mind today. Question number one. The Torah says, lo da'as, Hashem hasn't given you a heart to know. That sounds like one thing that you have that you're not capable of doing. Rashi explains that it's two things. The first is lahakir chastoi, to recognize His kindness, and secondly lehidavek boy, to cleave to Him. How does Rashi work out from the word lodaas that actually it means two different things? Question number two. Rashi apparently is explaining what he's explaining the word. Lev Lodas, the words, Lev Lodas, right? That's what he's explaining. A heart to know. So if that's what he's explaining, why does he include in his Dibur HaMaschil also the words, Veloi Nasan Hashem Lochem, that Hashem hasn't given you? Surely he's just explaining the words Lev Lodas. That should be the Dibur HaMaschil. Question number three. If you look, the preceding Pasuk said that Hashem showed you all these great miracles that He did to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. In other words, the context is miracles. Rashi says that you haven't recognized His kindness. Now, kindness and miracles are not synonyms. Not every miracle is for kindness, and not every kindness is miraculous. So why does Rashi say kindness if the pasuk before was talking about miracles? Take three questions. Let's read the next Rashi. Says Rashi, Hashem hasn't given you a heart and eyes and ears ad hayoim hazeh, until this day. Says Rashi something very intriguing. Shomaiti, I heard. Now, straight away, that should raise an eyebrow. What do you mean I heard? Usually, Rashi says there's this source or that source. Even if he doesn't quote the source for us, he usually bases himself on a reliable source. The Sifri, the Gemara, a Mishnah. Yeah, he says, Shamaiti, I heard. What did he hear? She'oisoi hayoim, that the hayoim azeh that this pasuk is referring to is a specific day. What day is it? Oisoi hayoim, she'nosa Moshe sefer Torah livnei Levi. It is the day when Hashem gave a Torah scroll specifically to the tribe of Levi. As we'll see later in Parashas Vayelech. So what happens when he gave this Torah scroll to the tribe of Levi? The rest of the Jewish people came to Moshe and they said to him, we also stood at Mount Sinai and we also received the Torah and it was given to us. So why are you giving your tribe authority over the Torah? Mashlit means that they should have the shlita. They should be the ones in charge. V'yoyim rulonu yoyim mochar. And tomorrow they're going to tell us, lo lachem nitna, wasn't given to you. Lonu nitna, it was given to us. So the Jews complained to Moshe, why are you giving the Torah to the tribe of Levi? It's all of ours. Somach Moshe Ladavar. Moshe was very happy when he heard this. He rejoiced over hearing this. Balzois Omalohem, and it's with regards to that he said to them, Hayoim Azeni Yesala Omagoimer, today you have become a nation. Hayoim Azehe Vanti, Shatem Dvekim, Bachafetim, Bamokoim. Today I understand that you want Hashem and you're cleaving to Hashem. Okay. So the first question we have to ask over here is ad hayoim azeh, that expression, ad hayoim azeh, until this day, is an expression that is used frequently throughout the Torah. And every time that it is used, it's always used in the context of what we call ad va'ad bichlal, which means that it's pretty much until today. When you read this parasha, this statement still applies. Ad hayoim azeh, it applies until today. Here Rashi is not explaining it that way. He says, Ad Hayom Hazeh refers to a specific day of a specific event that came up, or actually is going to still come up, because we haven't read it yet. It's coming in Parshas Vayelech. So question number one is, why does Rashi feel that he cannot explain this in the same way that he normally explains it? That Ad Hayom Hazeh means literally till now. Then there are a few nuanced questions on this Rashi. First of all, he says such a strange thing. He says, we received the Jews complained to Moshe, and they said, we received the Torah, and it was given to us. Don't you think it should be the other way around? Don't you think they should have said, the Torah was given to us, and we accepted it? Kibalnu oisa. Why is that, so to speak, the wrong way around? Also, why did the Jewish people complain to Moshe, ato mashlites shiftecha aleha? You are giving your tribe authority over the Torah. It actually sounds like what they were trying to say is, why did you give the Torah to them? So Rashi should have used that language. He should have said, why have you given the Torah to the tribe of Levi? And lastly, it's a nuance, but it's still something to wonder about. Lastly, he says that the Jews complained to Moshe, you know what's going to happen? One day tomorrow, meaning in the future, what's going to happen is that they'll turn around the tribe of Levi, and they will say that the Torah was given to them and not to us. Rashi says it the other way around. He says, one day they're going to say the Torah was not given to you, it was given to us. So these are nuanced questions in Rashi, but still we have to understand what's going on over here. It's nothing compared to the questions we're going to see on the next Rashi on Pasuk Vav. Now notice, from Pasuk Gimel until Pasuk Vav, there's no other Rashi commentary. Now it comes to Pasuk Vav. What does Rashi say? Now you're going to have to really pay attention over here, because there are really little nuances. And you came to this place, says Rashi. Ato, now. Straight away, you got to ask yourself, now, what happened now? What changed? What's he saying now? Ato, now, atem royim atzmechem bigdulo v'chavod. You see yourselves with greatness and with honor. So what happened now? What happened now that they suddenly seeing themselves with greatness and honor? And what is greatness versus honor? Sounds like two different things. So what are these two different things? So therefore, he warns them, "Al tivatu b'mokim v'al yorum levavchem." Do not reject Hashem and do not become arrogant now. And instead, what should you do? Ushmartem es habris hazois, as you're going to see in the last pasuk, you should keep this covenant. So we need to understand what is difficult in the words "vatovoyu elamokim azeh," that you came to this place. What's difficult? Now, that's pshat. Pshat is you came to this place. So why does Rashi have to explain it? Rashi doesn't have to explain things that make sense. "Vatovoyu elamokim azeh," you came to this place. Makes sense. Question number two: why would we think the Jews would now suddenly rebel against Hashem? They had seen so many miracles. They had seen so many things that the Torah says, Vayaminu, caused them to believe in Hashem. Now, after all the miracles, now suddenly you think that Eretz, they're going to start to rebel against Hashem. Why? And by the same token, why would they suddenly now think of themselves as great? What does it mean? Now they think about themselves as great? And as we said, what's the difference between Gedula and Kavod? Greatness and honor. That's not the end of the Rashi. The next part of the Rashi is probably the most perplexing, says Rashi. Dovar acher, another explanation. V'loi nosa nashem lochem leiv lo da'as. Hashem did not give you a heart to know. Whoa, 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 hang on a second. That's three psukim ago. V'loi nosa nashem lochem leiv lo da'as was three psukim ago. You already explained it, Rashi. You already told us what it means. You told us that it means that now you came to recognize Hashem's kindness and to cleave to him. You told us that. Now you've waited three psukim later to tell us in a different pasuk, in a different context, under a different headline, Dovar Acher, another explanation for what Leiv Lo Da'as means. Why now? What's the second explanation that he gives? She'ein adam oymid al seif daitoi shel rabbi b'chochmas mishnosei ad arboim shana. It's to teach us that a person does not get to appreciate the full depth. Now listen carefully to the words. Of the da'as, the knowledge of his Rebbe, the chokhmah, the wisdom, and mishnosoi, his teaching. So you don't get to understand fully your teacher until 40 years. In other words, what he's saying is now that the Jews had been with Moshe for 40 years, now they're finally starting to understand. V'lenosan Hashem lechem leiv lo da'as. You didn't get to understand until this point. Ulefichach, therefore, because they didn't have full understanding up until this point, therefore, lo hikpid aleichem amokim ad hayom hazeh. That's why Hashem hasn't been so strict with you up until this time. But now, avu mikan ve'ilach yakpid, from now on, he will be very strict with you. Ulefichach, therefore, now you'll look in the Chumash, the next piece is as if it belongs to the next pasuk. But Rashi says, ulefichach, which means you're supposed to read right into it. Ulefichach, ushmartem es divrei habris hazois v'goymer, therefore you should fulfill the words of this covenant, etc. So, why do we need two explanations of Leiv Lo Da'as? Anytime that Rashi gives a dover acher, another explanation, it means the first explanation was unsatisfactory, and it means the second explanation is not as good, but it fills some of the holes of the first explanation. So what was wrong with what Rashi said earlier? Three psukim, and of course that's our big question, why is it three psukim later? But three psukim earlier, he told us that what does it mean when that Hashem hasn't given you a heart to know? It means that you haven't yet appreciated his kindness and you haven't yet cleaved to him. What's wrong with that? That now he has to give another explanation. Little technical little thing. In this Rashi, there are two explanations. Both of them refer to the final pasuk of the parasha, Ushmartem es divrei habris hazois. For some interesting reason, the first time Rashi says it, he does not say v'goymer, etc. The second time he quotes it, he does say v'goymer, etc. Usually when Rashi says etc., it means that actually there's more to the story than what I've actually quoted, which is relevant to this commentary. So how come to the first commentary, the full context of the pasuk is not important, just the words Ushmartem es divrei habris? Yet in the second commentary, for whatever reason, Rashi feels that the context of the pasuk is relevant. So you can see there's quite a lot of psukim, quite a lot of questions that we have over here about Rashi. We really need to understand what's Rashi trying to tell us. Something has clearly happened at this point in history that's shifting their attitude, that maybe now they'll feel more full of themselves and willing to rebel against Hashem. We need to know what that is. We need to know what's not to be understood by the word vatovoyu alamokim hazeh. And then there's all these detailed questions about the order of the words that Rashi uses and how come he splits the commentary on Lev Ladas into two different psukim, three psukim apart. There's a lot of things over here that seem to be quite strange and we need to try and understand. So let's try and understand what's going on over here. If you had to look at this section, which is the last part of the parasha, from Pasuk Aleph all the way down to Pasuk Ches, and you had to summarize it in one line, in one phrase, you'd say, this part of the parasha is trying to achieve what? What's it trying to achieve? Well, if you look at it, it sounds like Hashem's doing two things, through Moshe, obviously. Number one, Toichacha. There's some level of rebuke happening over here. Don't rebel. Don't become full of yourselves. You haven't had a proper understanding up until this point. There's a language of rebuke. Number two, as a direct result from that, there is a call to action. Ushmartem. Therefore, because you have to be rebuked, you also have to be reminded to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs properly. So we need to ask ourselves the question, why? What's the chiddush? The entire book of Devarim is Moshe's rebuke of the Jews before he passes away. And it's the whole book of Devarim is a call to action, to do Torah and mitzvahs. So what's unique about this piece? What's different about the rebuke? And what's different about the call to action? That's what motivates Rashi to try and understand what's going on over here. Specifically, what bothers Rashi the most is the expression, Lev lo da'as. Lev lo da'as, a heart to know Hashem. Again, before you get into his commentary, if you read it at face value, what is it saying? It's saying that you should have a lot, from now, you're going to have a heart to understand, to know, to acknowledge God. Now, the pasuk before that spoke about Hamasois HaGadoilois, the great miracles. And Rashi's perplexed. Do the Jews now have to be told that they're going to be given a heart to appreciate Hashem's miracles? As if to say, for the previous 40 years, they did not appreciate Hashem's miracles. Rashi says that can't be. Doesn't make sense. We have so many times in the desert where we see that the Jews were appreciative of Hashem's miracles. There were times they even composed songs, Oz Yashir, after the splitting of the sea. And again, the Shiras HaBe'er, after the famous story, which happened quite close to this, actually, chronologically, where the Canaanites wanted to ambush them, and they didn't even know that there was this potential threat. And then eventually Hashem took out their enemies and they noticed body parts floating in the water. So then they came to praise Hashem and others as well. We even know that there were Jews who complained, Lama Nigora, why should we lose the opportunity to be able to celebrate the miracles of the Exodus? So the Jews had celebrated and acknowledged and were aware of Hashem's kindnesses and miracles. So that's what bothers Rashi. Lev lo das. You cannot tell me that what's happening now is that Hashem is giving us the opportunity to become aware and appreciative of miracles. Because the Chumash has shown us that the Jews were already appreciative of miracles. So therefore, Rashi wants us to understand that verse, V'lo nosan Hashem lochem leiv lo da'as, is not linked to the preceding verse, which was about miracles. It's linked to the following verse, which is that your clothes and your shoes did not wear out and that you didn't have to worry about food and drink because Hashem supplied it for you. Those are not miracles in the classic sense. I mean, they are miraculous. The miracle of splitting the sea happened once. It's like, wow, look at that. He split the sea. The miracle of destroying the Canaanites who wanted to ambush us is, wow, look at that. He did something amazing. The Exodus from Egypt, 10 plagues. The nature of people, though, is if somebody is kind to you on a regular basis, you start to take it for granted. Even if their kindness is beyond the requirement, or in this case, beyond nature. Because the Jews for 40 years consistently had seen that food gets delivered every single day and that drink is supplied through the well of Miriam, and that in spite of the fact that they're in the desert and they're traveling and they are all the elements, their clothing does not in any way become worn out. So they became used to it. And they started to see it as chesed rather than as miracle. And not only did they start to see it as chesed, they started to take it for granted. So therefore comes along Moshe and he says to the Jewish people, you have to understand miracles affect a person one way and kindness affects a person another way. Miracles make you in awe of Hashem. Wow, did you see that? The sea split. You stand in awe. And the nature of awe is that you retreat. You feel, I can never come close to Hashem who's that great and that powerful. It's too much. It's too big. It's too powerful. The nature of kindness is it draws you close. Wow, Hashem cares about me. Look at that. Hashem supplies me with food even in the desert. He supplies me with drink. He looks after my clothes. Wow, he cares about me. So that brings me close. That's what Moshe is telling the Jewish people at this point. Hashem did not give you, so to speak, and you'll see in a minute that those words, Nasan Lachem, seem a bit odd. But anyhow, you haven't yet gotten to the point of appreciating his kindness to the extent that you have said, because of his kindness, we want to connect to him. You haven't done that until Hayoim Azeh, until a special day that happened. Now, why does Rashi say a special day that happened? Because the truth is, go back to Parashas Va'eschanan, and it already says over there, Va'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayoim, that the people are already connected to Hashem. So you can't say it's Ad Hayoim Azeh till today. Usually when we read the words Ad Hayoim Azeh, it means whatever we're talking about is valid until today. For example, where it says, after Moshe was buried, V'lo yoda ish es kvur asoy ad hayoim hazeh. Nobody knows where he's buried until today. That's literal. Still, until today, we don't know where Moshe is buried. But to say that you haven't connected to Hashem ad hayoim hazeh would be inaccurate, because the Torah has already attested to the fact that the Jews are connected to Hashem. Atem advekim, you are connected. Therefore, Rashi has to identify that there was an incident. Something must have happened at around about this time. And the incident that happened was the catalyst why the Jews suddenly recognized that Hashem had been kind to them all of this time, and therefore decided that they wanted to be connected to Hashem. So what was the incident? Therefore, Rashi quotes the incident. He says, I'll tell you what the incident was. The incident was that there was a time that Moshe gave a Torah scroll to the tribe of Levi, and the Jews protested, and that was a wonderful thing that they protested. Now, what did they protest? This is why the wording of how Moshe tells the story, or the way Rashi explains how Moshe tells the story, is very specific. What did they protest? Did the Jews have an issue with the fact that the tribe of Levi should be the custodians of Torah learning? Absolutely not. That's their legacy. When they were in Egypt, who looked after Torah learning? The tribe of Levi. After the golden calf, who was given the responsibility of serving in the Mishkan? The tribe of Levi. After the story of Korach, who was told to safeguard the Mishkan that nobody should come too close and be harmed? The tribe of Levi. So the tribe of Levi was seen by the Jewish people as a group who is responsible to teach Torah. They had no issue with that. They did not protest the fact that Moshe had appointed his own tribe to teach them, because they knew that that's their role. So what did they have an issue with? So look at the language of Rashi. They did not have an issue that noisna, that you give the Torah to the tribe of Levi. That they didn't have an issue with. They were worried that atomashlit eshiftecha aleha. They were worried that what was going to happen is that the tribe of Levi would land up with some shlita, with some authority, with some kind of ownership of the Torah that they would lose. In other words, what were they concerned about? They were concerned that they would come into the land of Israel and the tribe of Levi does not get a portion in the land. So therefore, the tribe of Levi does not have to get their hands dirty with the process of conquest and of dividing the land, which was going to take a period of time. They didn't yet know that it would take 14 years, but they knew it would take time. So they'll be fighting the Canaanites, and they'll be trying to set up a habitat in the land. And all of that time, the tribe of Levi is going to be learning Torah without any disturbance. So they come to Moshe and they say, listen, Moshe, we accepted the Torah. We said Naaseh V'Nishma. We were all in, even before it was given to us. That's why Rashi says it in that language, in that order. That, right? We accepted it and it was given to us. We questioned that. We said, surely it should first be that it was given to us and then we accepted it. Say, no, Moshe, you know who we are. We're the people who accepted the Torah even before it was given. We were 100% dedicated. What we're afraid of now is because of circumstances that are not of our choosing, it's what Hashem wants us to do, perhaps we'll lose the opportunity to engage with Torah to the same extent of the tribe of Levi, and therefore they'll end up being in control of Torah. We'll lose our opportunity. And then one day down the line, who knows what's going to happen? They'll turn around and they, having watched what had happened during the period of conquest of Israel, they'll turn around to us and say, wasn't given to you. You were given the job of inheriting the land. We were given the job of the Torah. And that's what the Jews were worried about. Says Moshe, fantastic. I now see that you have Leiv Lo Da'as. I now see that not only are you in awe of God because of the miracles that he did, previous pasuk, Hamaso Isa Gedoylo Isa Shero, and all the wonderful things, the great miracles that you saw, but I see now that you have matured to the point that you appreciate Hashem's goodness to you and kindness to you, and therefore your priorities, you want to connect. And if you entertain the possibility that that connection might be undermined because of the structure of giving the tribe of Levi the Torah to look after while you're doing your thing, that's great news. Nosan Hashem lochem Leiv Lo Da'as. Up until today, I didn't know that you had that connection. Now I know that you do. Moshe is thrilled. That's Rashi's explanation on the first pasuk. So let's go through it. V'loi nosan Hashem lochem Leiv Lo Da'as. What's Lo Da'as? Leiv Lo Da'as means that it's both. You recognize his kindness. That's what Rashi wants to emphasize. Not the miracles. Dafka the kindness. And therefore, Ledafka, you want to connect. Adayoyim Azeh can't mean till today literally because we already know that the Jews were connected before this moment. So it must refer to a specific day. Which day? The day where this particular conversation happened and the Jews said, we were committed before it was even given. That's why the order is that way in Rashi. We're worried, not that you'll give it to the tribe of Levi, because we appreciate that that's appropriate. That's why Rashi uses the expression, they will take ownership. That was their concern. And that's what made Hashem so happy. And Moshe so happy. Look at this. The Jewish people are committed and connected. We don't yet know why Rashi would have used V'loi nosan Hashem, V'loi nosan lochem, that Hashem hasn't given you. That's not so clear at this point. And we'll come back to that shortly. But before we do that, let's understand what's bothering Rashi about the expression "Vatovoyu el amokoim hazeh," that you came to this place. Well, the truth is, what's it got to do with this whole conversation? This conversation, if you start from the beginning of the chapter and you go to the end of the parasha, this is a conversation of Moshe speaking to the Jewish people and giving them a particular type, we don't know yet what's unique about it, we're going to learn that, a particular kind of rebuke and a particular call to fulfill mitzvahs. So that's the context. The context is that you're talking about Moshe speaking to the Jews and saying something's happened at this point in time, you've shown a certain level of dedication, you need a particular warning and you need a particular call to action. Why in the middle of all of this do we start talking about something that seems unrelated? Vatovoyu el amokim hazeh, that you came to this place. What's it got to do with this? And so Rashi alludes to something really interesting. Up until this point in time, as he told us in Pasuk Beis, up until this point in time, it's been great miracles from Hashem. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Now, things are about to change. Vatovoyu ad amokoim hazeh. Now you've come to this place. This is the border. It's Moshe's last speech. They're about to cross into Israel. Everything's going to change. From this point going forward, yes, there will be miracles. And yes, there will be divine intervention. But the focus is going to shift. For 40 years, the focus was Hashem will provide. He'll protect you from enemies, from the elements. He'll give you food. He'll look after your clothes, everything. That's about to change. When you come to this place, what comes with this place is you're going to have to start to take responsibility. You will no longer get manna. You're going to have to work for your food. You will no longer have these miraculous clouds that just get rid of your enemies. You're going to have to fight to conquer the land. So therefore, now there's a new concern and a new rebuke. Up until now, Moshe had rebuked the people about things that had happened in the past. And based on that, he had called them to action for the future. The chiddush over here is Moshe is now rebuking them in advance. He says, you're about to go into a lifestyle where you might think that you are the cause of your own success. Because Hashem wants you now to work the land in order to get food, you'll now have the temptation of thinking, I produced my own wealth. Because Hashem wants you now to go into the land and to conquer the people who live there, you will face the temptation of saying, I have a good army and I'm a great strategist, so therefore I won the war. Now that you've come to this place, says Rashi, we've got to warn you. We've got to warn you that you're going to fall into the traps of Gedula and Kavod. What's the difference between Gedula and Kavod? Gedula is greatness. And it's quite possible for a person to see themselves as great because they see themselves as great. Kavod, you don't give yourself Kavod. You don't honor yourself. You can live in your own mind and believe that you're great, but kavod somebody else has to give you. So therefore, Rashi points out what's going to happen now. You're going to go into the land. The first thing that will happen is you'll feel gedula. You'll feel, wow, look how great we are. Look how we've turned a desert into an oasis. We took the barren land of Israel and we've brought in technology, who knows what, drip technology and whatever it is. And we have turned it into a flourishing green belt, the only part in the Middle East. See how great we are. See how great we are. We have the best army in the world. We can conquer any enemy. Look how great we are. Says Rashi, be careful. Don't go down that route to start to think that your greatness is your own. Aye, but you'll say, look, everybody else. Everybody else looks at us and they say how great we are. They give us kavod. Other nations, even nations that once upon a time were our enemies. Now they turn around and say, it's amazing what you people have achieved. We wish we could be like you. Maybe we should be at peace with you. You have such an amazing army. You have such amazing technology. You have such amazing success in what you've done. Says Rashi, be careful. That's what he's telling you. When you come into this place of Israel, the Yetzirah of Israel is that you think you're great. That's the Yetzirah of this land. You think you're a big deal. And there are even people around the world who will help you to think that about yourself. And you know what's going to happen next, says Rashi. The next thing is, you're going to start rebelling against Hashem. And that's what he tells us over here. What's the language that he uses over here? He says, "Al tiv'atu b'mokim." Don't reject Hashem now and say, we don't need it. What, we need a religion now. We need God. We need mitzvahs. No, we have a land. We have an army. We have technology with a startup nation. We don't need God. "Al tiv'atu b'mokim." Don't kick Hashem out of your world just because things have started to go well. Ah, you're going to say, but look, this is the war of Sichon and Og, which was a miraculous war. How could you even make such a mistake? That's how big this Yetzirah is. If you have a look, there are three places, essentially, where we talk about the war of Sichon and Og. There's here. There's where the war originally happened, which is recorded in Parshas Chukas. And later on in the book of Yehoshua, it comes up again. You know, it's interesting. In Parashas Chukas and in Yehoshua, it's very clearly framed as miraculous. It was a miraculous victory. Look how it's framed over here. Look at the Pasuk. Pasuk Zion. Vanikach es ha'artzom. We took their land. Vanitno lenachalo. And we gave it as an inheritance. Loroveni v'lagodi v'lachatzi shevet amenashi. In other words, what's Rashi picking up over here in the Pasuk? That even the wording in the Pasuk makes it sound like it is your success. It makes it sound like maybe you did this on your own. And you could forget about Hashem. Therefore, Rashi specifically says, "Vatavoyu el amokim hazeh." When you came to this place and you start to shift from a world of relying completely on Hashem's miracles to a world of having to take responsibility, don't fall into the trap of starting to think that now your success is your own. Okay, beautiful explanation, except. Except, basically what we've said over here so far is that Rashi identifies that there was a particular point in history where Moshe said, wow, okay, great, now I know that the Jews are committed. As if it came from them. The Lev Lodas came from them. But the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, V'lo nosan Hashem lochem Lev Lodas. Hashem did not give you a heart to know. So that's the first reason that Rashi is not 100% satisfied with his first explanation, and he alludes to that by including it in the Dibur HaMaskil, in the headline. Number two, this forces Rashi to say that Ad HaYom HaZeh in this Pasuk is different to Ad HaYom HaZeh everywhere else in the Torah. Every other time that it says Ad HaYom HaZeh, it means till today, except this one. That's a little bit uncomfortable to say. Number three, the story of giving the Torah to the tribe of Levi, we haven't learned yet. It's only still to come in Parashas Vayelech. So here he's talking, Hashem hasn't given you a heart to know. And Rashi is trying to explain that that's something that will still happen. So that's not so comfortable. And lastly, as we did point out, the wars against Sichon and Og were clearly miraculous. And here Rashi is kind of undermining the miracle. So it's after you have that information, now that you've seen that we're talking about Ad HaYom HaZeh, and that you're talking about the wars of Sichon and Og, now Rashi says my first explanation on Lev Ladas wasn't 100% satisfactory. So now he has a Dovar Acher. He had no reason to ask these questions until we knew this information. So the only time to start to say maybe there's another explanation of Lev Ladas is only after we've already discussed that we're talking specifically around the time of the war against Sichon and Og, which raises certain questions. And after we've explained Ad HaYom HaZeh, which raises certain questions, only now we have to go back and say perhaps there's another way to explain Lev Ladas. So how does he explain Lev Ladas in the second explanation? It's something Hashem gives you. After 40 years, Hashem gives you insight that you would not normally not have had. That's how Rashi explains it in the second explanation. 40 years of learning, 40 years of exposure, 40 years of having Moshe as your leader, or by extension, anybody as your teacher. 40 years is what's going to eventually wake you up that your heart appreciates what Hashem has to say. Therefore, Nosan Hashem. Hashem has given that to us in our nature, that we require 40 years of training before we're that open. If you take it with that translation, then Ad HaYom HaZeh fits with every other place in the whole of Torah. Ad HaYom HaZeh always means it's relevant today. Well, that is relevant today. That 40 years to be able to understand something would be relevant today as it was relevant then. So that would satisfy Rashi's trying to redefine the expression Ad HaYom HaZeh, which makes it good. Good for him. Works in the Pasuk. Also, now we're not so worried about the fact that Sichon and Og were miracles, because now we're saying even all the miracles that you had, you only really truly appreciate the value of all of those miracles 40 years down the line. So the first explanation is closer to Pshat because it fits nicely with words like the chesed that Hashem does for you. And it fits nicely with the concept of the Jewish people getting to a certain point where Moshe says, aha, now I know that you are connected to Hashem. Works very beautifully. The second explanation, on the other hand, fills in certain gaps, but it's not so close to the pshat. Nosan Hashem lochem still doesn't sound like it's something which happens to you naturally. It sounds like something occurred at this particular point in time. So now we see why Rashi has to give us two explanations. The first one fits nicer with the pshat. The second one deals with the issues that the first explanation does not tackle. And the second explanation, unfortunately, although it's a beautiful message and it's a true message, doesn't sit as comfortably in all of the words of the pshat, although it does help us with the expression Ad HaYom HaZeh. By the way, now let's go back and look at this Rashi. Let's read it again inside. Vatavoy al hamakom hazeh, because there are two parts to the Rashi. So Vatavoy al hamakom hazeh. So what's the first part? Now you think you're big deals because you're now taking responsibility and you can start to believe in your own success. So therefore, I have to warn you, Altiv Atuba, Mochim Bal Yorom Levavchim, a general warning. A general warning, do not forget Hashem. If it's a general warning, then it's alluded to by the general wording of the Psukim, or Shmartim, as Dibre Habris Azois. And that's all I need to know. Keep the laws. Don't forget Hashem. It's a general warning not to reject Hashem. So Rashi's comfortable with just the generic terminology from the Pasuk. Ushmartem es divrei habris hazois. Stay committed. Dover acher. The second explanation is, V'loinosan Hashem achem leiv lo das. Shein odom oivim esef da'at yashab v'chochmas mishnosoi ad arboim shona. The second explanation Rashi gives over there is that you, that you only start to connect to your teacher after 40 years. Therefore, Hashem wasn't concerned about you until this particular point in time. But from here on, he will be concerned. What's the vegoimer? Because he's going to say, Leman taskilu, in order that you should understand. The second explanation is talking about how you come to understand your teacher. So therefore, he says, Leman taskilu, in order that you should be able to understand properly and fully. Okay. What could this teach us? Rashi obviously doesn't just say things. It's got to teach us a lesson. So we're going to see two things. One is a little bit more spiritual, and one is a little bit more practical. The first thing is, you'll notice, if you go back to the first Rashi, V'loinosan Hashem lochem leiv lodas. The Torah uses the word Hashem, yudkei vavkei. Rashi says, La'akiras chaste ha-kodesh baruch hu. He changes the word. Instead of referring to Hashem as Hashem, he refers to Hashem as ha-kodesh baruch hu. Why the difference? When I use the name Hashem, yudkei vavkei, that represents how Hashem is beyond the world. Miraculous. Totally. Hoyo hoyo ve'biyi ke'echod. Past, present, and future all rolled into one. Hashem is completely beyond everything. When I use the word HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh, Kadosh means separate, but Baruch Hu means how Hashem comes down into this world. Rashi wants to emphasize over here in his first explanation that when you see Hashem's kindness, that means you see how Hashem has come down into your world. Into your world. And therefore you can appreciate Hashem. And not only can you appreciate Hashem, but in the second explanation, you can understand what Hashem has to say. Means that you actually get to understand what Hashem has to say. Because he's come down into your world. Because he's made himself available. Therefore, you can understand what he has to say. Says Rashi, the two ways to relate to Judaism. The one way is that you acknowledge and you appreciate and you understand what Hashem has to say. And the other way is that you just dedicate it to Hashem because he's beyond what you can understand. Rashi wants us to know you need both. On the one hand, it's beautiful and it's meaningful when we understand. So therefore, there comes a point where Hashem allows you to understand. And on the other hand, you have to be sure to know that Hashem is completely beyond. So even when you get to the point of understanding, your dedication to Hashem should be out of dedication, not reliant on what you understand. You dedicated to Hashem, Kabbalah's all because you dedicated to Hashem. And therefore, if it turns out that Hashem wants you to understand, you'll understand correctly because you'll be dedicated in the first place. So that's the take-home message for us, that Yiddishkeit is a blend of absolute dedication to Hashem beyond my understanding and the acceptance of the fact that I'm required to also understand, and that's why I learn. The second thing that we learn over here, which is not so much a take-home message for us, but it's more of a spiritual insight, is that it's interesting to note, over here Rashi uses the expression, Ein adam oimed al soif da'as raboi v'roiv chachmosoi mishnosoi. Three different expressions. Daitoi, chachmosoi, mishnosoi. When Rashi makes the same comment in the Gemara, there he says that Ein adam oimed al soif daitoi utfunosoi. Only two expressions. Why? So we know that these obviously refer to three levels, Chochmah, Bina, and Das. He says Chochmasoi, that's Chochmah. Mishnosoi, that means the in-depth learning, that refers to Bina. And Daitoi is Das. This pasuk, Rashi is explaining the pshat. The pshat is that Moshe is talking to us, and he's telling us that we do not get to fully understand our Rebbe until 40 years of learning. So you're talking to us, we only get the chokhmah and the bina and the das after 40 years. In the Gemara, the explanation over there allows for an explanation that is not pshat. That it's referring not to us, but it's referring to Moshe. That Moshe himself comes to a level of understanding after 40 years that he hadn't had before. Ah, you're talking about Moshe. If you're talking about Moshe, you can't say that he hasn't achieved chokhmah until 40 years, because Moshe's intrinsic spiritual level is chokhmah. So chokhmah he always has. Therefore, what has he come to understand about Hashem after 40 years that he didn't have before? Tvunoso v'datoi, bina and da'as, because that he could still develop further. So again, that's not a take-home message, more spiritual insight. The take-home message for us is that Yiddishkeit has to be absolute dedication in the first place, and then over the course of time, increasing in understanding until eventually, leiv lo da'as, that you understand things as Hashem would want you to understand them. How can you be sure that you understand the way Hashem wants if you start with the Kabbalah soul and dedication that the Torah requires? Shkaya.